Hey, Hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm.
So
I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not trying.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So you could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. This episode is proudly sponsored by MIDA. MIDA creates business solutions to poverty and has been implementing effective market-driven programs since 1953. They combine innovative financial and technical expertise to build and enhance sustainable agri-food systems that provide decent work for people living in the Global South. To learn more about MIDA, please explore MIDA.org. In this episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, we will be discussing innovations for inclusive agriculture finance. You know, one of the major constraints faced by agriculture businesses is access to finance, which is very critical to ensuring the growth of their businesses and the agricultural sector at large. We consider this topic very important, and that's why we brought on the show Regina Yakinyua, Technical Expertise Impact Investment. Hello, Regina. Thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me, Sharon.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So just to get a little bit information about you, your work experience. But then again, let me ask you, because I think I shouldn't say I'm a very strange person, but I want to ask this. Are you a dog person or are you a cat person? Because I like dogs, but I don't want them near me. So what do you prefer? What kind of pets do you prefer? I know this is just out of it, but I'm just wondering. This is just me wondering. I just wanted to ask you anyway.
I'm actually both, because I have 2 dogs and 3 cats. And,
oh, my.
Oh, yes, I do. I do have some lovely animals that I stay with here. They are my friends. And maybe dog more, because they are a bit loyal. For my cats, just look for me when they want some food. That's it. And just sleep around. Maybe I'll fall onto the dog side a little bit, but I do have both dogs and cats in my house.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. The cats are a bit selfish. I mean, they only come to you when they want food. My God. I'm not sure I can have a dog in my house, even though I like how fluffy they look sometimes, but I can't imagine having dogs in my house because they're going to scare me to death. But anyway, it's good to know that you have interest like this. I just wanted to know that, because I was just wondering. I mean, I've never asked anybody this question before, so I'm just sort of putting out this question, and I'm glad I didn't throw you off balance.
That's fine. I'm the lucky one today. That's fine.
So great. Tell us a bit about you. What's your experience like working in this field?
Well, my experience has been very interesting. And for me, access to finance is very dear to my heart. Because, you know, I started off working in a microfinance institution. And, you know, with a background whereby we work with women in small groups, we train them on how to access finance, we give them debt financing. And then, well, if they don't pay within a certain time, we are going to their homesteads, and, you know, the recovery strategy is usually a bit rough, whereby we have to probably even sell some of their, you know, it was quite hectic. And during that period, I felt like, I hope one day I would be able to be of impact or support these women who are in small and growing businesses, so that they don't have to face these kind of challenges that they do. So that is my background, and that is what gave me the drive to get to where I am today.
Thank you for sharing that. But that must have been very challenging for you. I mean, having to go meet farmers and women trying to recover the debts that they've incurred or something. I mean, that must have been very challenging, because like you mentioned, it can be very rough And I can't imagine how you must have felt doing that. Oh my.
Yes, that changed my life. And that's why I am in this field, just to make a difference. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to God that I'm here today and I'm able to do that.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. It's really great that you could open up about this. For me, I don't know how I can deal with that. I mean, too, because I don't even think I have the heart to do that to myself. So you must really be strong-willed to really be working in this space. So thank you very much for really putting out your time, putting yourself out there to support and impact women and those, of course, in the agricultural sector. So before we start hitting the nail on the head, let's discuss the issue of finance and agriculture. What can you really identify as the major challenges of agricultural financing?
Well, thank you. I believe that access to finance is really a critical thing when it comes to growth of the agricultural sector globally. And you see, with the shift, we have this shift from subsistence farming to more commercialized kind of agriculture production that we are hoping that is more sustainable and inclusive. However, we usually have these challenges that limit that from happening. And some of them, we'd like to describe them from the demand and supply side, because we have on the demand side, we have the small producers or the SMEs or the agri SMEs within that sector. And on the supply side, we actually have now the financial intermediaries that we hope to foster this kind of relationship. So in terms of the demand side, one of the greater things is the limitation to differentiated capital needs, for which that are agri specific. And when it comes to smallholder farmers, we are hoping that they can be able to invest in new modern technologies, quality seeds. They are able to also increase their incomes by improving the conservation in terms of conservation agriculture. But due to the limitations of finances, they're not able to adopt these new technologies. The other one is also the factor of lack of products that are oriented or that are women oriented and youth. And this is because, there's this report that, 48% of women of agricultural activities are usually done by women. Therefore, we don't have this kind of financial instruments or financial services that are women driven. The other one, we also have the access to finance conditions. We realize that most of the access to finance conditions are not that good. They're not favorable in terms of how they are delivered by the financial institutions. They are not transitional, they are not sustainable. Therefore, it becomes a challenge right there. The other one is really also lack of, aside from access to finance, we also have non-financial products. In this case, when we talk about improving of skills, knowledge, as well as information for SMEs or small producers to become more investor ready, as well as for FIs to build their investor confidence to want to invest in them. The other one, obviously, when we talk about agriculture, we have the unpredictable climate conditions that limit producers from wanting to access finance because they're mainly risk averse. Because of the climatic challenges, they fear to fall into default if they borrow loans. Therefore, they stick to the working capital that they already have. In terms on the side of the financial intermediaries, and these are on the supply side, we realize that capital providers find it difficult to invest in the agri SMEs, especially due to the risk factors such as the volatility of price. We have climate change. We also have the government regulations. So these risks usually drive lenders from wanting to invest in these sectors, and therefore they stick to value chains that they are more comfortable with. The other one is really the fact that financial intermediaries are more income generating institutions, and they all look about their main thing is how do I maximize my profit, but they don't really go down to understand the understanding the differentiated capital needs for small producers and SMEs. Therefore, there is a low ability to assess the credit worthiness of the agri sector to tailor products that actually fit within those sectors. So there could be many others, but I think those are some of the major challenges that actually limit the agri-financing sector from functioning better than it should be functioning.
Well, thank you for sharing that. But do you think that land could be like a major challenge in any way?
Yes, of course. Land is also a challenge in that when we talk about small producers, sometimes the kind of products or the kind of crops that they grow usually sometimes are not suitable, or maybe because the farmland has deteriorated, and also due to inaccessibility of enough land to commercialize farming. So yes, sure, in two nutshell, in two ways, in terms of commercializing farming, because of the small pieces of land that we have, especially in the rural, in the rural areas, it becomes difficult, as well as the deteriorating of the soil fertility that also leads to smallholder farmers yielding, you know, having less yield in short, yeah.
Yes, great. Thank you for sharing that. The reason why I decided to put that out was because women already contribute to the agricultural sector, yes. And majority of the production is done by women. I think about 60 to 90% of the production is done by women, but still they do not have access to land. And that's a major, major constraint to them getting access to finance. But what can we really do about that? I mean, women need to have access to land. I mean, in some places here in Nigeria, it's very difficult for women to have access to land, which is something that would help them to get into commercialize farming and all of that, so they can generate more revenue to actually grow their businesses. But it's quite difficult here in Nigeria. If let's say I'm a woman now and my father has a large piece of land, and I can't have access to that land. Why? Because I am a woman. I am not supposed to be farming. I'm not supposed to have access to land. Now, if something happens to the husband of that woman, the family members, the men actually, would come to collect that piece of land from the woman, mainly because she's a woman, so she's not supposed to have access to land. And that's a major concern for us, because I believe that when these women have access to this land, they can use it as a form of collateral or something to get loans from financial institutions and still try to grow their businesses that way. But this doesn't happen. So how do you think this we can solve issues like this for women? I'm just throwing this out. I know this is in the direction, but I just feel I should ask this, because this also bothers me.
Absolutely. It's actually similar to Kenya, whereby, you know, the land is owned by the men, and women in this case are just a support and provide, you know, farm support, but they don't have really any say when it comes to land and utilizing the land for their income generation, or, you know, building their household. And, you know, this is what we call the gender norms and cultures that exist, and we cannot do away with them. It's going, I mean, we are slowly trying to, but we cannot do away with them, but we can work within them. One of them is really trying to educate and just advocate for, you know, working with also the men to understand that, you know, we need a household to work in unity. We want to drive this change by educating men, educating the people who are within a culture, so that we can be able to see some sort of shift when it comes to power dynamics. So basically, these cultures may never change, but being like advocates and trying to advocate and inform and educate the parties who live with these women, or the women who are trying to create business in farming, I think it's just been able to collectively have a great a conversation with the whole community in terms of driving the power dynamics, and just to promote what you call gender equity and social inclusivity.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. I read somewhere that most of the men, they feel that some of these gender inclusive programs are not really trying to, what's the word now? They're not really trying to create any form of inclusiveness. They just still feel like it is some kind of program set up for women and all of that. But my two cents on this is that I feel that women should not really try to compete with men, because somehow I feel like we have a upper hand. We have the ability to multiply. We have the ability to transform things. But I think one of the major constraints here is the fact that we are trying to, many women are still trying to compete with the men. And I think that is also something that is, disturbing the whole process. So I think that if we are able to work together, because the whole idea is to work together, but so many are not trying to do so. They're still trying to separate themselves, and which is causing the divide. So I think that if we can work together and women are not seeing themselves as or trying to create some sort of equality with men and all of that, that can really do a lot of, it can really do a lot of good. That is just my thinking. I do not actually believe that we should be trying to be in a competition with the men. We have what we can bring to the table. The men also have what they can bring to the table. So we just have to come together with our ideas and create an inclusive and a great agricultural sector for us. So I don't know, do you have same ideas as me? Because I think this is one of the ways we can really grow.
Most definitely, most definitely. I think we just need to change the narrative from we are promoting women, we are doing this to women. It's being more gender sensitive. And when you talk about gender equality, it's both men, women, youth, those who are traditionally marginalized. It's everyone in the system. It's just ensuring that everyone has an equal opportunity, really. So I think just changing that narrative from we are driving women change, we are driving this about women, but a more inclusive when we talk more inclusivity, when we talk about gender equality and social inclusive.
Well, I guess we just have to keep on training awareness around this, so they get to see that this is not just about us. It's about for the it's just for the global good. So we just have to come together one way or the other. Well, thank you actually for sharing your thoughts on that. So I'm just wondering how we can really try to boost the finance opportunities in developing countries, because you know the areas places that really face these finance challenges are mainly the developing countries, rural areas and all of that. So how do you think we can boost finance opportunities? Maybe you can drop like strategies or points or highlights or something that can help us. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe I can just talk about how that we can just try to boost financial opportunities. And one of them, you know, like we know, because of the climatic change, we need to accelerate environmental, social and economic driven interventions. And well, I'd have to mention, this is what at MIDA we call the triple impact. And when we drive this ESE is to really address many of the challenges that are across the market systems. And in with this way, you're going to, you know, the farmers will be able to increase their yields. We'll be able to see a boost in business growth. We're also going to see an increase in income. And once we see that kind of change, then we'll able to see a behavior change across the agriculture value chain or the agriculture market systems. Secondly, is really about the involvement of private sectors. Like we say, sometimes we want to see so much change with the smallholder farmers. We want to increase farm inputs, want to increase technical support, but we also have to involve the private sector while doing that. And in this case, because we are talking about access agriculture finance, it's really working with financial intermediaries. In this case, when I use financial intermediaries, I mean the financial institutions, the MFIs, the investment funds, the capital providers, and all those, you know, how they can be able to address these challenges through skills and building the knowledge gap. And once they provide this technical support at production level, helping, working with the producers to build up their farm production, to increase mechanization, modernizing of farming, improvement of soil, you know, the soil fertility. If the financial institutions can be able to not only provide access to finance, but provide also technical skills as well as access to finance that will help address these challenges, we'd be able to see some sort of change. In terms of at business level, because we have production level and we also have at business level, now that we talk about capitalization of farming, we have SMEs who are within the market systems of agribusiness. We have the farm input suppliers. We have we have the business development service providers. This means by also developing their business their businesses in terms of governance. How can you put in place better governance structures? For example, when we're working with cooperatives, how can you be able to ensure that the infrastructure of ensuring that we efficiently work with smallholder farmers is improved? We are also looking at compliance. How can we ensure that businesses register, you know, they become more compliant, because once they become more compliant, they operationalize, they work on their financial management systems, you know, they will become more investment ready. And once they become investment ready, you'll be able to see financial intermediaries having more confidence and wanting to invest into these businesses. So being able to have that catalytic private sector player addressing those challenges, we'll be able to see some sort of shift. Thirdly, we also have the financial intermediaries and the SMEs and all those across the agri market systems. How can we be able to foster a better relationships for us, for the financial institutions to better understand the differentiated financial needs? Like I'd mentioned earlier, you know, financial needs for those who we believe are we consider them traditionally marginalized. How can we work with them to tailor more customer-centric or more agri-centric financial solutions to encourage the youth, to encourage women who are in businesses, to encourage everyone within the ecosystems to want to invest or to put in more investment in when we talk about agri-finance. So I think being able to accelerate ESG, catalyzing the work of private sector, and also for financial intermediaries, really understanding how can they come up with differentiated financial needs in the agri sector, we'll be able to see some sort of change and address and boost agriculture financing opportunities.
Thank you so much for that. But how do you think MEDA's approach will create an inclusive agri financing? I know you guys are particular about investment and innovative finance. So how do you think MEDA's approach would foster inclusive agri financing?
Yeah, so MEDA's approach really begins with a market systems assessment. And like I said, we want to understand what are the constraints, what are the pain points, and how can we also integrate JESI, what you call gender equity and social inclusivity, and, you know, also the environmental challenges. And then we are able to link them into the investment that we work in and then build on that. So the other thing is, in terms of how we work. So in terms of once we do the market assessment, which aims to identify these gaps, and then we are able to identify what are the opportunities and who are the market players that we can bring together to better understand these gender climate nexus around it, around the power dynamics when it comes to market systems. Once we do that, we identify the market players. We work, for example, now with the financial intermediaries. And that is where now through our MEDA risk capital fund, it's an investment asset that sits within MEDA, where we now deploy these finances through to the financial intermediaries. Because at MEDA, we don't work directly with the smallholder farmers. We use a more market systems approach. And in this case, our risk capital fund is where now we are able to tap in and work with financial intermediaries so that we can be able to provide them with either debt capital or be it a credit guarantee through a credit guarantee fund, through equity or debt. And through that, then they are able to provide working capital, mechanized solutions, as well as, you know, modernization farm modernization for smallholder farmers as well as SMEs. So we work through our MEDA risk capital fund to be able to do that. And that is also now bundled with technical assistance, in this case, developing capacity of financial intermediaries to be more gender focused, to ensure that they are more environmentally conscious, so that they can be able to better serve the small producers and SMEs as well. So we use different ways or different investment interventions. And one of them is a blended finance, whereby we structure our partnerships to allow for different capital, like I mentioned, you know, debt, equity, and grants, to achieve a more commercial and we are able to see impact and change from the activities that we are implementing. And one of the key aspects of these partnerships is to see the provision of a technical assistance to these funds to support the achievement of our more sustainable development goals. The other one is we also use what you call program-linked investment. And by this, I mean MIDA tries out also non-financial approaches to develop capacity that brings investments to enable change in behavior and promote what you call crowding in. So once we work with the financial intermediaries, for example, and they are able to also trickle down to the producers and to other smaller enterprises and SMEs as well, we use now, we are able to also bundle that with the other activities that are taking place in the projects. So we also have, aside from access to finance, we also have gender. We now bundle those services and ensure that the programs, as they continue, we also have the access to finance or the impact investment activity going on. The other one is on gender lens investing, which, you know, MIDA is quite big on that. And like we mentioned, you know, one of our key areas is to work with those who are traditionally marginalized, and what some of them are the women and youth. So we ensure that even during our design across implementation, we ensure that there's always a gender lens investing approach when it comes to implementing our projects.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing wonderful insight about the work MIDA is doing. We really appreciate you coming on the show today to share your experience and, of course, your knowledge with us. Thank you so much for taking our time to join today. So, guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope you learned from this, and I really hope you see this as an opportunity for you to grow your business. Thank you very much, guys. I want you to follow us on all our social media pages, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and Twitter, and I think YouTube as well. Thank you so much, guys. I look forward to hearing wonderful comments from you. I look forward to hearing awesome voice notes from you as well. Thank you very much, guys. I love you, and I'll see you again next week. Do have a lovely time. Bye-bye.